Hey.
All right, so we'll start over again. We have a lot of people on the call. We've talked a lot about Trupp flashcards. We've been talking for the last 10 minutes about Trupp Trainer. It included ways of using with your bar mitzvah students, with your tutors, with individuals, with classrooms, with groups, with smart boards, with printing out things. So we've come up with a lot of things for Trupp Trainer. Neil is clearly intimately involved with Trupp Trainer. For those who don't know Neil Schwartz, he has worked with the same company that makes Trupp Trainer, which is Keynor.com, both to advise on Trupp Trainer, but even more so, he's been working for the last few years on Tefillah Trainer, which does similar things as Trupp Trainer, but for the entire prayer book. So, Neil, you've got the phone.
Before Neil has the phone, I think we're recording now.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. I have a question for Heather, which is, when you say you're using Trupp Trainer with SmartBoard, could you brief, before I mention the other things I was going to add to Sheldon's wonderful presentation about Trupp Trainer, could you briefly share with us how you're connecting to a SmartBoard in such a way that it can display Trupp Trainer?
Well, we bought a copy of Trupp Trainer, the deluxe version, I think, for one of the – this is actually the last synagogue I was at, but I just recently left. So we bought a copy of it for the laptop that attaches to the smart board, and then I bring it up, and it's great.
Okay, so simply that your lap board is talking to a smart board and simply displaying what you see on your screen.
Great.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Those of you who don't know what smart boards are, they're basically a large screen for a computer, and basically anything you can do on your computer, you can do on your smart board. Most of them are touch sensitive as well, so you can move things around and use that as your mouse, you know, the touch screen. And it's large enough for an entire classroom to see. And so Trupp Trainer works very well if you want to use the Trupp exercises, if you want to show text, if you want to hear stuff. And it's a logical thing. So does that answer your question, Neil?
Okay, yes. And so let me throw in just a couple of things before I ask whether anybody has any questions that I can questions or comments that I can take back to Tom Buechler at Keynor. First of all, I hope everybody is aware that Trupp Trainer is finally available for Mac.
Yay!
As of when? This is Dan, Neil.
I've been using it for a half a year now.
Right.
Okay. I just went round and round with Sid. Well, maybe I'll talk to you offline about that. But I was told about 3 months ago that it, in fact, is not available.
It is definitely available now.
Oh, no. It's been available since the second thing, for those of you who haven't explored this, the customizable feature of this is really awesome. You can basically create anything, any combination of verses that you need. What I'm hearing, because I'm teaching online, teaching Cantillation for Hebrew College online, and most of the students have purchased it. And what I'm hearing is that people are going right into using it without bothering to stop at Go and actually look at the instructions that come with it. So they're missing a lot of the features. So I would just urge everybody to make sure that you've checked out all the bells and whistles and actually take some time to look through the stuff that people have sent about the features that it contains. And if there's anything about that should be made more clear or put in a different place, again, please let me know, because it's becoming clear to me from the adult users that I'm dealing with that they're simply, like the old cliche that guys won't ask for directions, They'd rather drive around and figure it out themselves. Well,
absolutely.
It's not just guys, it's middle-aged ladies who are doing the same thing.
Well, many of us have GPSs now, so we don't have to ask directions anymore, thank God. I'll say a couple more quick things about Trump Trainer. They have obviously many, many, many different settings that for pitch, for volume, for speed, for lots of different possible trups, different versions of chanting the trup, whether it's Ashkenazic or Sephardic, whether it's you name it, it's probably there already. And if it's not, and you are going to be buying a lot of them, like David Propus, they're willing to add another version of your voice, of your version of it, but you got to make sure you're going to be buying a bunch of them, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
There's color coding available for those of us who like to sometimes use it with some of our students. And what, again, you may not realize if you don't read the directions, is that you can use any combination of colors you want. You're not stuck with the default version that Trump Trainer has, but you can change if you like Et Nachta to be a yellow phrase rather than the color they have, Et Nachta, you can change it. And since Neil asked for comments, I'll mention my one negative that I hear from a lot of people, and I certainly have told the people at Trump Trainer, and I know they have addressed it over the years, and it's better than it used to be, but many of my people can't stand the mechanical voice. They really don't like to hear Stephen Hawking's chant Torah or Haftorah, and much prefer a more human sound.
Here's where things have gotten with that. Tom Buechler, who invented this whole thing, is using something called DeckChuck. And at the Kennedy Assembly Convention, which is the only time that we ever all see each other, he actually sampled my voice and brought it back to the guy who invented DeckChuck to try to make the computer voice more human. That seems to have helped a little bit.
It is better now than it used to be.
Well,
can I say something about the issue of highlighting? This is Marcia. I found, and I spoke with a batch of different educational, people with educational higher degrees, and if you're in a hurry and you need to highlight mechanically, that's fine. But any learner gains a lot by searching out the phrases themselves and highlighting them manually. It's a very third form of learning. So I think that the asset of Trope Trainer is that you can do a lot and you can do it quickly. But if you have the time to allow the kids to do it themselves, it's huge.
Okay,
I would agree with that.
Okay, I think we need to move off of Trope Trainer because we've got a lot more material to cover. Does anybody use the Coulter materials, coulter.com? Nobody's using them. You should check the
trainer.
Who? Go ahead.
Jeff in D.C. Can I just add one more thing?
Yep, Jeff.
If you don't have one of those smart boards like Heather was talking about, what I've been doing for the past about 5 years is I simply am using hooking my laptop up to a projector and using it for a classroom setting that way as a PowerPoint type
cool.
of a production. So that works well. Also, to save a little bit of paper, if you print out the Tikkun, print it out horizontally, and they've got it on one page.
Exactly. Let me say one more quick word about smart boards. I'm guessing a lot of us don't yet use them. They are very, very expensive, and many of our synagogues just have not yet invested that kind of money. You should know, and you may want to present this idea to your educational director and do a written grant proposal together, Legacy Foundation. And I don't have their address off the top of my head, but it may be legacy.com or legacyfoundation.com. They give out lots and lots of grants for lots and lots of stuff to lots and lots of synagogues. They give basically any synagogue who writes the grant proposal a free smart board with one stipulation, and that's that whoever is writing this grant and is usually the educational director, has to promise to share with everybody else any materials that you create. And you have to promise to at least create one activity, lesson plan, something. So if some of us as cantors want to get into our synagogues and start creating ways of teaching trup or songs or holiday materials or whatever we teach using smart boards, it's a great addition to any synagogue that's got the space to do it.
Sheldon, the name of the organization again?
Say that again?
The name of the organization again?
Legacy. L-E-G-A-C-Y. I just, as I said, I don't know their address offhand, but maybe while we're talking, I'll look it up.
Well, then you teach. I'll get it.
So nobody uses the Coulter materials? Okay. They exist. Clearly some people buy them because they still are in business. They are a lot less flexible than Trup Trainer. And some of the material is available online, so for free. So, for instance, if you want a translation or transliteration, you might want to use the Coulter materials. It is a free available online. Does anybody use the Cole Coren materials, the electronic materials? I didn't think so, which is interesting. I don't either, but I got a nice review from a reform cantor. Her name is Gabi Arad. I think she lives in California. Mimi, do you know her?
I don't know her at all.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting.
All right, so she tells me the following. I've never used Trup Trainer, but Cole Coray allows you to record all your own stuff so that the student is hearing everything in your voice and style. It also allows you to communicate with your student through the program as long as you are both connected to the internet. You can send things to your tutors as well. We use it in the religious school, and it works wonderfully. Their address is www.kolkoren.com. ColeCoren.com. And I looked their stuff over online and tested their trial stuff. It does look very, very nice and very usable, and lots of pretty stuff. So if you haven't already invested everything into Trup Trainer, you may want to look at Cole Coren. I have no idea what it costs, but it definitely looks interesting. Any other comments on computer programs that help teach Trup and help teach Haftarah and Haftarah skills, etc.?
I'm just going to give everybody the Legacy Heritage email address.
Thank you.
And the website. It's www.legacy, L-E-G, as in good, A-C as in Charlie, Y, heritage, one word, heritage.org.
Okay.
I believe Rabbi Mark Margolis is the administrator.
Exactly. He's the executive director.
Those of you who've been at IJS know him. He's the Hevraya.
Yeah, and he's an old friend of mine. We used to work together. He was my rabbi when he first came out of rabbinical school and mentioned my name. Maybe that'll help you get the grant. Okay, I want to move on to another technology that I'm not sure many of us are using yet, but it exists out there, and that's Skype Classroom. Or any kind of Skyping, I guess, if you're doing individual tutoring. Classrooms designed to gather a whole bunch of students together all at once on in a Skype room. Is anybody currently doing any kind of bar mitzvah tutoring using Skype?
Yes. It's Jeff in D.C. again. I've found it very, very useful for those all that time you lose during the summer when people are on vacation, especially for the B'nai Mitzvah that have, say, late August, early September bar bat mitzvah. I have been using Skype, and it's working really, really well. And the parents are really happy to be able to not lose their time that way and still be able to go to the beach by, 11 o'clock in the morning.
So let me ask you a couple of quick questions. I assume you've got a camera on your computer or your desk. Does the kid have to have a camera too?
No, they don't have to have a camera. You can do just voice-to-voice, but they do need the software, which is free. I've done it both ways. I like the way it works both ways, depending on the kids. Some kids, you can I feel that you can get them to concentrate better if you are looking at them, because otherwise, if you were just doing it on the phone, they may be doing something else or whatever and not really paying attention. Having the camera helps because you know you're sort that they know that you're looking at them too. And most laptops now come, or a lot of laptops now come with the built-in microphone and camera too.
As do a lot of smartphones. My Droid has Skype, app built in, and one could easily use your smartphones these days. Any other comments anybody wants to make about Skype?
Great article called Tips for Using Skype in the Classroom, Teacher Strategies, and you can get it by Googling it, and it has a whole batch of different ideas about how to use Skype as a classroom aid.
Right, and this email address, that the URL address that I gave you on my PDF handout, the Skype Classroom, if you go through Berman House, they also have guides for how Hebrew school teachers can be using Skype and developing a classroom. And I'm assuming it'll work especially well in communities where kids are far sprung out that they can't easily all get into a classroom. But for those of us who are lucky enough to have everybody live within a few miles of the shul, it's great that they come and meet in person. But if people are living hundreds of miles apart, as in parts of our country, Skype Classroom is a whole new technology that we may want to start making sure we're not getting left out of this. And there is at least one cantor that I sat down and brainstormed with him now that he has a part-time cantorial job and not a full-time job, and he was hoping to do bar mitzvah lessons to students outside of his community. Skype may be a way of doing this now, so that he can be teaching people in other countries, people in other time zones, other states, whatever.
I want to ask somebody just a second. If anybody who works with Skype in teaching found it problematic, from the delay problematic, sometimes there is a delay.
Jeff, you want to respond?
You get used to it. It can be a little problematic, but you get used to it. The only difference is you hear the audio just fine. Their mouth just might not be lined up depending on how good the connection is.
Yeah, I think there might be a problem. You try to correct something, and then until they get it, I just wonder.
Okay. I mean, it's not perfect, and it may be better if you're living in, far away, or your kid's away in Florida visiting grandma in the summer, and it may be a solution when you can't meet in person.
It does make a difference what time of day that you use it as to how heavy the traffic is on that internet.
Another good use for Skype is to save our own health because we all have those kids that come in, their parents make them come in if they're sick anyway, and then we get sick and you know how that affects us. I am pretty specific saying if you're sick and it's something that you know that you shouldn't be going out and it's something that somebody could catch, do it from home, and we use Skype that way. And if they don't have Skype, we just do it over the phone.
All right, I want to keep moving on. This next little item is called the Magic Yad. It was invented by the same people who invented the leapfrog game stuff for kids, which is a very big seller for anybody who's got young children. It's a learning thing. It's about the size of a highlighter, magic marker kind of size. You take this electronic reading device, you touch it to, now I'm talking specifically about Magic Yad, touch it to a print out of the Torah or the Haftorah that's printed on very special paper that has these little micro dots in the paper. And then the person who's holding the Yad can hear either a word or a phrase or a whole sentence just by touching a different logo or marking there on the page. So before I talk any more about it, is anybody already using Magic Yod?
I believe Gaston Bogomolny. Sorry.
Well, Gaston Bogomolny, who's I'm sorry he's not on the phone, is at the synagogue where the inventor davens. And so Gaston has been working with this gentleman. And if you buy the version that has the already built-in singing of the Torah or the Haftorah, it's Gaston's voice. One of the nice things about Magic Yod is that they will send you the software, and you send it back to them, and so you put in your voice if that's what you would prefer rather than the standard version that comes with Gaston's voice. And it seems like it's a wonderful new mechanical device for those kids who want to listen easily to that same word or phrase over and over again and find it a little frustrating to do it with their CD player or their MP3 players. Or I guess if they don't have Trump Trainer with their computers. But I think it's a really cool thing, and I'm sure kids will like using it. To me, the two biggest negatives is, number one, the cost. It's about $300 in order to buy the Yod, which is $150, and then the materials, which is basically another $150, including the software for you to make your recording. If you do it with the standard version, it's like $30 cheaper. I know that Marty Lubitz at his synagogue is trying to get congregants or parents to purchase them and donate them to the synagogue so that the synagogue will have then enough yods for each kid. And then the materials, because you use the same materials year after year, and the same Torah portions for each kid year after year. So that will hopefully eventually save them a lot of money, but it's obviously a huge investment to begin with. My other big negative is if the kid loses the materials, drops them in the lake at camp, breaks the yod, whatever, it's a big investment. So to me, the biggest negative here is negative. It is the money issue. Anybody want to say anything else, either positive or negative, about Magic Yod?
I think you covered it.
Okay.
Thank you. It's a little bit before its time, and it really needs to come down in price to be effective.
Yep, I tend to agree.
Yep.
All right. My next thing on my agenda here is putting stuff on your synagogue website, whether it's TRUP, whether it's prayer melodies, home holiday texts, like the Kiddush for Shalosh Regalim, whatever. You can easily do this and put it onto your synagogue website. I know you all think, or many, many people think at least, that I'm this amazing computer nerd type. I'm not. I don't really know computers that well, except that I do obviously know how to turn them on and do know how to use them, do know how to use a lot of stuff. But I'm not the one who does this. I just am always asking people questions, which is one of the reasons I'm thrilled that people are all talking back and forth on the phone, because I want to learn more. So what I did is I made a CD of the stuff I want to put on my synagogue website and or PDFs of the stuff I want to put on my synagogue website, and I give it to my synagogue webmaster, and he does it. I don't know how he does it, but I understand it's not hard to do. Does anybody else put stuff onto their synagogue websites? Congregational melodies, prayer things, TRUP stuff, anything like that?
I'm in the process of doing this. This is Rafi. I'm going to start with just the brachot for the Aliyah.
That's certainly an easy way to start.
Yeah.
Sheldon?
Yep, go ahead.
This is Linda Shivers. I had a lot of stuff on my website before I moved, but I'm just wondering, are there any issues with permission?
Copyright.
Yes.
Copyright.
Copyright.
Yes.
Ben Affel from Tiberias is going to sue us.
No, I'm really, really glad you brought it up, because, yes, there definitely should be and are copyright issues, so that if you're using a Debbie Friedman tune or a Craig Talman tune or whoever else's tune, you should ask their permission, and chances are they will probably say yes.
Mm-hmm.
At least they usually do to me, because they maybe because they know me or I've had experiences working with a lot of these people. But in general, most composers want their music out there. And so if you tell them you're not selling it, you're just making it available for your congregation, basically. Although once it's on the Internet, it's available for anybody around the world. You may want to put links to other recordings. So if there's a Debbie Friedman or a David Propus recording of something, or Mayer Finkelstein recording of something, and it's already on a recording, you may want to put a link attached, you know, there, so that people will be able to hear it, download it, buy it, whatever, through Oi Baby or CD Baby, or, you know, there are a lot of companies that sell stuff nowadays. Craig's stuff is almost all available as downloads. JewishMusic.com is starting with lots of downloads now. SimchaMusic.com has lots and lots of downloads available. So you can easily just put a link up if you don't have permission to record something. But I don't think you need permission to do cantillation, to do blessings, to do most traditional music, you know, prayer stuff that's not recently composed. Any other comments people want to make on that?
I do have a comment. Hi, this is Jen in Cherry Hill. Hello. And I've just started recording things to put on the website, and it's been pretty easy, but I don't know how to do the best and most effective way to put in the text. So, Sheldon, you said you do PDFs from where? From the CDOR? From, like, online sources? Or?
Yeah. Trump Trainer, Tefila Trainer, Dafka Writer, which is actually the next thing I'm going to talk about. So
you're never typing anything in. You're never typing up the bracha yourself.
No. I get it from somewhere else, and then I save it as a PDF, and then I send it to my web guy.
Gotcha.
Okay, can I make a comment about that, folks?
Yeah,
sure.
Great.
It is, for two reasons, worth taking the time to do those things yourself with Dafka Writer. First of all, everything is everything that someone else has done does have some copyright implication, and there was a whole big discussion on the Hanashir list about this very issue of putting stuff up on synagogue websites, which was left that, you know, there's lots of issues there. Adrian Derlester is like the copyright maven for the Hanashir folks. But here's another reason that I do everything myself and Dafka Writer. As you've seen from the work that I've done with Tefila Trainer, I put in what somebody my age who used to use typewriters called a carriage return, nowadays they're called word wraps, to give the phrases. And except for Tefila Trainer, you can't get that anywhere else unless you can, you know, scan pages out of the Koran Siddur, which is the first easily available Siddur that has the prayers set up that way. So it's worth taking the time. The other thing that I use with Dafka Writer is I like the Tefila Trainer text. I put in Dafka Writer has a way to make a dark Shvana and a long Kamath Katan. And as a matter of fact, I just did this yesterday for some more Tefillot that we're going to be teaching in our Hebrew school. I used the Hadassah typeface because Siddur Asim Shalom uses the Hadassah type font, although I prefer the Frank Royal typeface, it's clearer. And that way you have total control, and if you make it a PDF, you only have to do it once, and then you can put it on the website, you can print it on the photocopier, or if it has a handout. PDFs are incredibly flexible.
Great. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thanks. Yes, and DT
again. Ask a question of Neil? This is Heather.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil, you mentioned word wrapping. Or word wraps?
Word wrap, yeah.
Can you, I need to be filled in on what that means exactly.
When I make the blessing before the Haftarah, I'll, depending on the font I use, let's say I use a size 28 font, I'll put Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, comma, then I'll hit return, and the next line starts a share of a car. That's word wrapping.
Yeah,
back in the old days, we used to do a throw the carriage on the typewriter over, which is why it was called
okay.
a carriage return.
Right. Neil's using it in terms of spacing it so the, it's the way he wants it to look on the page. I think one of the reasons there's the question is that nowadays word wrapping often revolves around words fitting around a picture or a graphic, or now with our smartphones making sure it fits in the right size and, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's two ways of understanding the word wrapping issue.
Okay, thank you for pointing out that about language. The term that I like to use is stacking the text. I stack it in phrases.
Yes. Okay?
So it's just an issue of formatting.
Exactly. He's
yes.
formatting it to make sure it looks exactly the way he wants it. And knowing Neil as long as I have, he likes things to be exactly the way he wants them to look. Other people are a little less McDoc-take about every tiny little detail, but one of the things Neil is very good is at making sure details are all covered. David, you were going to say something before we went on?
Yeah, I want to say yes again. One thing is when you put the text on, what we've done is on our website, we created something to the audio.
Okay, I'm having a trouble, real hard time hearing you. I don't know if it's somebody who's got noises going on. So I think I'm going to ask everybody to mute. Mimi, can you tell people how to mute?
Yeah. Okay, in order to mute, you are going to press 6. And I just want to make sure you're going to press pound, you can 6, and then pound.
So please, if everyone would press 6#, and then...
I can mute everybody myself, and then they can unmute.
Cell phones have mute buttons, too.
Or if your phone has a mute button. But, Mimi, why don't you mute everybody? Except me.
Unmuting.
Okay, then, Mimi, you want to tell us how to unmute? Mimi?
I had to unmute. Okay. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
I still hear the buzzing, the fuzziness.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody's bar with a window.
I think we're up in Greenland.
You know what? I'm not sure that people, whoever it is, are muting themselves.
I can't hear you.
There?
I'm still here.
I'm here.
So, but I'm still hearing the fuzzing sounding stuff. But.
Yes, it started all of a sudden a couple minutes ago.
Okay, so if each person would press the 6 and pound, maybe that'll help clean it up.
Actually, Sheldon, I unmuted everybody.
Well, okay. I'm still hearing some...
I know. Well, we can't... Whoever it is, whatever phone it is...
It might have been... I accidentally hung up a minute ago, and I just dialed back in, so it might have been because of me.
No,
I doubt it, because we're still hearing it. All right, I'm going to keep talking, and hoping that you guys can hear me. For those of you who came in a little later, I talked at the beginning about my barmitzvahbooks.com, which is Andrew Levstein, and he has a great deal where he works together with Trump Trainer people, and he'll individually prepare booklets that and you can buy the matching CD-ROM from Trump Trainer. He back bundles the whole thing, and it's fairly reasonable to buy, although it's the most expensive of the systems that I'm going to talk about in terms of buying already prepared bar and bat mitzvah materials. But on the other hand, it is individualized for your synagogue, individualized for each individual student, and it is beautifully done. So that's mybarmitzvahbooks.com. I want to talk just a couple of minutes for Dafka Writer, which I assume most of us do know about. But again, it is the most flexible Hebrew word processor that at least I know of here in America. There may be other things in Israel that don't work so well here in America, but it has already built in the complete Tanakh, all the Megillot. You can import stuff, you can create PDFs, you can mix English and Hebrew, you can color code things, you could change fonts, you could change size of time. I mean, basically anything you want. The entire Sidur tech is available in their libraries. So when I've done, for instance, a Slichot booklet for my synagogue, I used Dafka Writer. When I did a family service for my synagogue, I did Dafka Writer. And this way, I'm not violating anybody's copyright by cutting and pasting from other Sidurim. Because when you buy Dafka Writer, you are allowed to use it to create your own synagogue Sidur. So, since I'm still hearing noise, I'm assuming there are people on the phone. Is there anybody who wants to say anything about Dafka Writer?
I'm going to make one comment that I've experienced with Dafka Writer. Sometimes, and I don't know what causes this, sometimes I find the vowels don't always align for some bizarre reason. If you try to make a version, do it outside of Dafka Writer, like if I try to create a Word document, I'm plugging it in there. So,
yeah, I have trouble.
But mostly it works, and it's a great tool. We use it all the time.
Right. Sometimes when I'm using, let's say, Publisher, I save the Hebrew text that I want from Dafka Writer as a PDF, and then I paste it in as a graphic. It's probably less than the perfect way of doing it, but I find it's worked for me.
I can address that a little bit. When you make a PDF out of a Dafka Writer document, it will sometimes shift things about a half a millimeter, which if you're using a large font, you can get away with. If you're using a tiny font, half a millimeter is enough to misalign the vowels and the consonants. However, if you go into something called IntelliTools, you can actually... I happen to not like a shva to be under the stem of a dalet or a resh, because to me it looks like when things get blurry with repeated copying, it starts to look like a cuff of feet. So I use IntelliTools to move my shva to the left. And you can move vowels and tropes both horizontally and vertically under that particular rubric.
That's cool. Okay, I'm going to move on to the two of the bigger selling now Bar and Bat Mitzvah books.
Sheldon?
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that a Melel for Mac. Melel is the Hebrew program that Dafka is actually distributing for the Mac, and they do a bundle with the Tanakh and all the stuff that comes there with Dafka Writer.
Cool. All right. So for all you Mac people out there, you get Dafka Writer with called Melon.
Melon.
M E L O N.
No, no. M E L L U L.
Oh.
M E L L E L.
E L.
Oh, Melel.
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 Okay. Now, I'm going to do truth in disclosure here. I hate it when I go to conferences and you think you're getting a workshop on lots of different materials, and the leader of the thing only talks about the book that they wrote. But I'm definitely going to include the book that I wrote here, but I think we have talked about lots of things that I haven't written. So I hope you don't leave here thinking I'm only hawking my book.
Not just your book, anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the new Bar and Bat Mitzvah materials that are published by Kitav, but it's done in conjunction with the Cantor's Assembly. We've had Cantor's Assembly people help with advising it, help with the proofreading it, and a portion of every book goes to the Cantor's Assembly. So I'm saying buy it, and you're doing good for the Cantor's Assembly. There's a book for each parsha of the year, and I've listed to you a lot of the things. To me, one of the best things about it is the size of the Hebrew font compared to, let's say, the old Shiloh or almost any other books that are out there. This one clearly is designed with young Hebrew readers in mind. And similarly, now I'm going to compare it to the new URJ Parshat HaShavua books. Because hopefully you're all being muted, I can't ask you to jump in as to whether you're using the URJ books or using the Ketav books. The URJ books are beautiful. I'm going to be real honest here and say I love them. They're really, really very, very lovely. And in fact, the Haftarah in the URJ books is even easier for kids to read because the phrases are one phrase per line and there's only about two or three verses per page. So the Haftarah is really very, very nicely done. The Torah, there's an advantage again to the URJ because it has the entire Parsha in the book, as opposed to the Ketav books that have only the triennial readings and not the entire Parsha. The negative is that the Torah reading in the URJ, the text is pretty small, especially compared to the Ketav texts. The other, as I compare the two books side by side, and that's why I gave you some PDF printouts from both books, if you look at page 3 of my printouts, the translation in the URJ uses the Plaut, which is very readable, very nice, but it really is not written with, you know, preteens in mind. The Ketav is. It's written by Saul Sharfstein of blessed memory, and he uses, instead of any other name for God, he always uses Adonai, and it's as egalitarian as he was willing to make it. And the text is really written so that 12-year-olds can understand it themselves. The other nice thing about my books is that they have commentaries by Ron Isaacs that are, I think, very, very useful for the kids comparing the Torah and the Haftorah portions. The commentaries in the URJ, the Plaut, I don't think is quite as accessible for the kids to understand. So now that I've talked about both books, one other thing I want to point out, and again, I wish people were on the phone because I have a question for everybody, but one of the things I like to do is mark books up a lot. So I stick breathing marks in there. I put numbers that will match their CDs that are curated for the kids so they can easily find out which track it is and don't have to worry about it. Although one of the nice things about the Ketav book is every line is numbered, but so is the URJ books. So that becomes easy for the kids to find. I'll go to line 6 there, and then they don't have to worry about which verse you're talking about. The other thing that I do at my synagogue, so I'll just give you the idea that maybe you can do it as well. So I take the book that I buy from Ketav, I cut it down the middle, and I put it into a loose leaf book. I prepare for the kids dividers so they can know where their Torah portion is, the Haftorah portion, the blessings after the Haftorah. I have a portion for translation. I have a portion in the back for Trup, Talit, and Info. Then it makes it really easy for the kids to find it because also at my shul, most kids also do Musaf. So I then use Dafka Writer and I created a Musaf and I put that into my books as well. And that way you can individualize for whatever it is that you do with your synagogue. So having done all of that talking, I give you a bibliography in the back of books with ideas for teaching. The ARE books are fantastic, and the Art of Cantillation that Marshall Portnoy and Jose Wolf have done are great stuff. And there's the student version that goes with the Josh Jacobson books that's got great stuff for you as a classroom teacher. So now that I've done my presentation, does anybody want to unmute themselves and get back in and ask a question or make any comments?
I want to ask a question there, Sheldon. It's Rafi.
Go ahead, Rafi.
I kind of wonder if any of us, I mean, I try to still do this, which is just teach trope and work on the kids, putting it together with the reading. I have a tutor that works on the specific reading with each kid, on the reading without trope, without singing. And I wonder if you guys, if anybody finds it useful. I feel that this is a better way to teach the skills. At the same time, it takes longer.
Okay, I absolutely agree with you. 100% of your students, what percentage of them are able to do it without a recording?
Well, what happens is that they record. We record their lessons, and they review their lessons. And I would say that probably 70% do it
with just a trop.
Yes.
We definitely teach the trop at my Hebrew school. We definitely are encouraging kids to start preparing Torah portions for junior congregation using trop. We have tutors that help them with that. I had a great experience last week. I had a student start his first bar mitzvah lesson, and he opened up his Torah portion. This is a Hebrew school kid, not a Schechter kid, and it's the first time I've ever had this for a Hebrew school kid. He opened up, you know, we went through what's in the booklet, and he looked at his Torah reading, and he chanted his Torah at sight, just obviously from the trop. So it can be done. I would say in my synagogue, maybe 15-20% of my kids maximum can do it easily just using the trop. Even though we do teach it to everybody, the huge majority of my kids are using CDs, they rely on it. And and that's changed over the years. I've been doing this for 36 years.
Right.
I would say the percentage was the flip, the other way around. It was basically 80% of my kids used to do it from trop, and now I would say only 20% of them can do it from trop nowadays. And maybe kids are lazier. Hebrew schools, time is more limited. I'm not sure exactly all the reasons why, but it has changed over my years, at least for me.
Can I speak to that question?
Sure.
This is Heather. I do have trope, and I find that most of my kids come out well with a trope, even though they also use a trainer. What I do is I teach them the five, what I call the five foundation clauses. So I teach them Sofasu, the Etnachta, the Katan, the Ravi, and the Tavir. And that usually covers about 75 to 90% of their reading. Then we go through and do chunks of the text, so maybe three lines per week, and they fill in those tropes that were not covered in the five foundation trope, because I've found that if I teach them all of the tropes, so if, in other words, if I'm teaching them everything, including, you know, the soul clause or whatever, start at the beginning, by the time they encounter their first specific clause in the reading, they've already forgotten it. So I find this works really well because they get those foundations. And the other ones they learn, remember in high school they teach you the difference between inductive and deductive reasoning, but I can never remember which one is which. But the ones that are less common, they learn in their reading, and then they remember how they sounded from their reading and then can apply them elsewhere.
And then just to piggyback on what Heather just said, which is great, that's one of the advantages of color coding. If you color code these few phrases that you have taught and the kids see, oh, it's only like a handful of tiny little spaces that aren't colored in, it makes it easy for them to say, oh, I can do so much of it already.
Right.
And that's one of the advantages of color coding. Any other questions or comments?
Can I be heard?
Go ahead.
Who said something?
Ed. Do you have time over play in class?
All right. I didn't hear what you said. Could you repeat it?
You have time to go over some of the games that you...
Oh, the games. No, that, at least not on this call, because it's supposed to end right now. But you can buy The Bar and Bat Mitzvah teaching book available from the Cantor's Assembly. It's got a great thing about games, classroom games, trump games, flashcard games. And so if you want to call me individually, privately, and have questions about any of the games, please feel free to do that at any time. You don't have to wait till we do a teleconference on this. So, Mimi, I'm done. I'm supposed to end at 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. Do you want to say anything to wrap this up? So I think that's our wrap-up. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for sharing your ideas and opinions. And look forward to seeing you at future events.
Ashley Cole, Sheldon, great job.
All right. Great. 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 Everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.